All right, I'm going to ask if you would grab your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. The whole time they were singing, I was just thinking about how it was an appropriate song, just a perfect song for where we're going to be here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. I spent some time last night, I spent some time this morning trying to pare down this message because I realized it was 3 pages long. And I was like, either I'm going to have to talk really fast or God, you're going to have to take some of this out. And I felt like God wasn't taking anything out. And so because I love you, here's what I've done. Split it in half, right? And so today's message and then next week's message is going to be a little bit shorter. But I wanted to do that. I say shorter. We'll see. We'll see how that really goes or not. But because I love you, I did shorten it in half according to my notes, right? We'll start there. So as I was playing the Cajon with Dave, I look up and Kurt and Kaylee White are walking across the yard and it messed me up. I couldn't praise God for a moment because I was praising God for them. So if you don't know Kurt and Kaylee White, wave your hand on the way back in the back. They're from Texas and they moved up to partner with Tim Howie's church, Grace Church of Overland Park. And so they live in Gardner and they're off. And so they just drove an hour and a half to come and be with us today. So give them a round of applause. Just let them know you love them. Love you guys. It's just really good to see you. But as the ladies were singing, and I really like that song, I couldn't help but think that's the response we should have every time we open up the Word of God. Just to how amazing our God is. And how everything bows to Him. And how everything gives Him the praise that He is due. I'm going to use your knife. Is that all right? My Bible's flipping everywhere. All right, so is everybody there in Deuteronomy chapter 5? All right, so I need some amens. I need to know that you're with me. I'm excited. This is going to be set right across the plate. Super, super practical. This sounds weird. I'm going to borrow your knife, doesn't it? It's holding my Bible. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 5. Everybody look with me in verse 22. That's where we're going to start. Deuteronomy 5, verse 22. Mason left off a couple weeks ago in verse 21. We're going to pick things up in verse 22. And I just want to read verses 23 to 26. We're going to pray, and then we're going to dive in. Y'all ready? Here we go, verse 22. He says, "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in 2 tables of stone, and he delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God did talk with man, and he liveth. Verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived?" Lord, I pray that you would speak this morning. Lord, that you would take these verses and Lord, that we can take these verses that you've written so long ago. And Lord, just to realize that we can apply them to our lives today, Lord, that they speak into us. And Lord, I pray that you would speak through me as we open your word to proclaim its truths. And Lord, I pray that at the end of this message, Lord, that we will choose life. And not just choose life, but Lord, that we would choose the words of life. Lord, that we would have a proper response to your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. For some reason, I'm just a nervous wreck this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just speak and use me as your vessel to proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. All right, so sermon title for today and apparently next Sunday is this: Having a Biblical Response to the Bible. having a biblical response to the Bible, and I guess we could say part one. But let me kind of set the stage just for a moment. You have Moses, he's talking to the nation of Israel. Remember, they're on the east side of Jordan. We used this picture a few weeks ago that we're on the east side of the river Neosho. Just the other side of this hill is a river. And so that's exactly where the nation of Israel, they're on the east side of the river, getting ready to cross over. And the book of Deuteronomy, God gives them three, Moses gives them three different messages, speaks to them in three different messages. Chapters 1 through 4 is the first message. Chapter 5, I think, through 20 is the second, and the remainder. All right, so those are the three main messages he's impacting to them, but he's reminding them of why they're even having these conversations, why it is that he's having to be the one to proclaim the truth to them. Because what you find, and what we read into this, is way back in Exodus chapter 20, you don't need to turn there, but way back in Exodus chapter 20, Moses had gone up to the mountain to meet with God, and God sends him back down and tells him to go get the people. So the whole assembly comes around Mount Sinai, comes around the mountain, and God says, so don't approach up to the mountain, just come around. And so Moses goes back up to the top of the mountain and begins to show up in flames of fire, in darkness, in thick darkness, and begins to speak the word of God. And what do you think, what kind of a response do you think the people had when they hearing the voice of God from the mountain? They were terrified. They were scared. And so they had come to Moses and said, hey, Moses, we would rather you talk to God and then you tell us what God said. Because we know that if we hear the audible voice of God, we're going to die. And we just read those verses. They come to that conclusion. And we're going to work through a little bit of that. And I think we can have a biblical response to the word of God. And what does that look like? And I want you to see here in verse 22. We're just going to dive right in. So verse 22, this just kind of explains to us the Bible, the Word of God, the Bible that you have in your hand. Maybe it's on a phone, maybe it's on a tablet, or maybe it's in a Bible, and if you or in an actual page Bible. And if you don't have one, I'm just telling you, you need to get a Bible. Amen, church? You need your own personal copy of the Word of God. And I don't understand showing up to church without one. Right? The expectation should always be to get in the Bible, right? The expectation should always be to get in the Word. You need to look at the Word of God yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22, it says, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. All right, so we're going to camp out right here in this verse. Let's just kind of identify what the Word of God is. And so the Word of God, number one, is available. I want you to see this. The words the Lord spake unto all your assembly. You see that? You see, here's what was happening. Moses was going up to the mountain. Moses was the one interacting with God. Moses is the one that met with God in the wilderness. Moses is the one that heard God at the burning bush. Moses is the one that kept interacting with God, and yet the people just kept submitting to what Moses said. And then there comes a point where God says, no, they need to hear my voice. They need to hear my words. That the Word of God is available to everyone. That means God's Word is available to you. Now, how many of you would just be honest and say, you know what? I read the Bible and I study the scriptures and I don't get out of it what you get out of it. Anybody ever like that? I was like, you know why I read the Bible and I see that you're reading the Bible and I feel like there's some secret that I don't have. Like, what's the deal? How come you can read the Bible and you feel like God's talking to you? And how come I can read the Bible and I don't come to the same conclusions that you come to? What's the deal with that? And what I love about this passage is he's letting you know that the Word of God is available to you. That you have access to the Word of God. That God wants you to hear his voice. Amen, church? That's the reality. And I think some of us, we don't get into the Word of God. We don't study the scriptures because we think there's some little code, there's some little secret that we just haven't tapped into. That we don't think that the Word of God has anything for us. We think we read it and go, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Well, hopefully by the end of this Sunday and next Sunday, you'll be able to have a biblical response to the Bible. And the first thing, you got to get the fact that it is available to you. Especially in the United States of America, you have the Word of God. You have access to it. But I want you to see this. It is available to you, not just your church, and not just your pastor, not just your discipler, but it is available to you. He says, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount. Now check this out. Out of the midst of fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice. Now, I spent some time looking at that and studying it and going, okay, what's going on here? And the biggest point I think I can pull from this is that the Word of God gives you access to God. Because there's no way to get to God unless you go through His Word. Right? God says, okay, you're not going to approach me. You're going to come into my presence unless you hear my voice. So He speaks out of the cloud. He speaks out of the fire. He speaks out of this thick darkness. And the only way to have access to God is through His Word. That's the only way you even know who He is. That's anything you know about God is found in these pages. Amen? And if you ever feel like you're on the outside looking in, you feel like you can't get to God, I got news for you. You need to get into His Word. You got to dive in. Not only is it available, but it gives you direct access to the glory of God. We're going to talk about that here in just a few moments. But I want you to see this, middle of verse 22. So He speaks to them out of the fire, out of the cloud, of the thick darkness. And look at this, with a great voice. Not just a voice, right? Now, there's places you can find that it's the still small voice that God speaks to Elijah, right? But here, it's a great voice. And so the Bible that you have, the Word of God that you have, is available to you. It gives you access to God. But this is so important to get. The Word of God is powerful. His voice is great. It is great, and it is powerful. You ever met somebody whose voice just carries? They just walk in a room and they talk and you can hear everything, right? They're just voice carries. I mean, the same thing with the Lord. His voice is powerful. Write this reference down, Jeremiah 23, 29. Jeremiah 23, 29. He says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. That's a great cross-reference. How about this one? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick. It's alive. Oh, and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirits, out of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. That's powerful. You know, I tell you stories, you know, things that I do, and I'm the idiot that watches a lot of YouTube videos, and I'm a sap for some of these videos because I just want to be happy. And so I watch these all kinds of different kinds of videos, but I watched this video the other day of a man and wife. They're married, and it's the receptions afterwards. Grandpa couldn't be there, right? Because Grandpa died. They knew Grandpa was going to die, but they didn't know that Grandpa had recorded a message for the bride. And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to cry. That's how this is going to end up. And sure enough, man, they just pushed play, and Grandpa just had tons of wisdom and things that he spoke, and it was just, she just melted into a heap. I mean, just fell straight to the floor, just hearing her grandfather's voice again, but with the authority that he spoke and the wisdom that he spoke, it just melted her, you know? And man, it just melted me, so I had to pause and collect myself and continue on to the video, you know? But man, the Word of God should be like that. The Word of God, every time we open its pages, it should melt us. Because it's such a powerful voice that we know that voice, that we hear that voice. Even when it's quiet and even when it's still powerful. And that's what He's trying to get these people to understand. That's what He's trying to get the nation of Israel to understand. He says, these words the Lord spake, verse 22, unto all the assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness. He says, with a great voice. And look at the next phrase. And added no more. And he added no more. Next thing I want you to get about your Bible, not only is it available to you, not only do you have access to God through his pages, not only is his voice powerful, that it splits you wide open, that it reads you as you read it. That's the word of God that we have. Not only that, it is complete. He added no more. He spoke and he with a great voice and he added no more. Praise the Lord, church, you have a complete Bible. Amen? You have no need for any new revelation. God is not giving any new revelation today. It is not happening. I've been to churches where they, thus saith the Lord, God has a new revelation. Well, hold on. You're adding to God's word. Don't do that. Scripture tells you not to add to his word. We have a complete Bible. If you want to know what God's mind is, you don't need new revelation. You've got it in his pages. If God, let's just put time out for a moment. If God was giving us new revelation, let's just say God spoke through Moses and Moses has a new revelation for his church. Well, that wouldn't just be HBC. That would be the church, wouldn't it? And then we would have to get that back. We'd have to get that new revelation disseminated to all the churches across the world. And then we'd have to have an addendum to the Bible, the Book of Mason. We ain't doing that. Amen? No, we have a complete Bible. We have the truth. There's no reason to add to his word. Write this reference down. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. In other words, every word, every jot, every tittle, every single phrase, every begat is placed there on purpose. It is measured. It is weighed. Every word of God is pure. He says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And so when these people, when the nation of Israel is around the mountain and they're hearing the audible voice of God, God speaks to them succinctly and completely. You can know that you have the complete word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But notice this. At the end of verse 22, he says, and he wrote them in two tables of stone. Now, in direct reference, he's talking about the Ten Commandments that Mason walked us through a couple weeks ago. You can just look up, just go up a few pages, go up a few verses, and you'll read everything he's talking about. He writes out the two tables, and he wrote them in two tables of stone. Question, who wrote it? God himself with the finger of God, into rock, into stone. Here's the next thing I want you to get about the book, the word of God that you have in your hand. It is certain. It is certain. You don't have to question what the word of God says. Praise the Lord for that. You have a certain word. You have the written word of God. It is guaranteed. It is certain. You don't have to question it. And I think sometimes we forget these things. Tony, you're not saying anything new. Good. I don't want to be saying anything new. Let's be reminded of these truths. The word of God is available to us. It gives us access to God. It is powerful. It is complete. It is certain. Write this reference down. Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. Verse 20 says, have not I written unto thee excellent things of counsels and wisdom and knowledge? And then he says this in verse 21. He says, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Why don't we have the audible voice of God? Why doesn't God speak to us through heaven anymore? It's because we need the certainty of the word of God. And God wrote it down so that they would have access to it forever and ever and ever. We have a certain Bible. And there's great certainty to its truths. We don't have to question what it says. I watch weird things on TV, and I guess I talk about it a lot. I don't mean to. Yesterday I was watching a little thing about these lost tribes in the Amazon jungle. Why? Because my wife wasn't watching TV with me. That's why I was watching that. So she's like, truth, right? So here I am, I'm watching these things, and I just love culture, I love languages, and how they're talking about deforestation and all these different things. Well, the government was getting ready to build this massive dam, and it was going to destroy their whole way of life. It was going to destroy it. And they were, and the government says, well, if you can give us proof of your lands, then maybe we can work something out. Well, the problem is they had no borders. Everything was done by oral tradition forever. Well, it's at that stump, at that tree, and you head toward this hill. That was the oral tradition. And the government said, well, we can't go off of what you say. We need to see something. So they went out that next night, and they just started chopping down all the trees and chopping everything down and running ropes to surround their lands because they wanted something to be certain, something to be seen. Listen, if Sharon hears from God, an audible voice from God, and then Kathy hears an audible voice from God, they might not get it exactly right. They might be hearing two completely different things. But God wrote it down for us so we can have a certainty of His truth. You don't have to question it. And let me just tell you, there are people questioning the authority of the Word of God today, and they're changing it. And they'll be answering for messing with God's words, because it takes us to our next point here in verse 22. At the end of verse 22, He says, "And He wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me." God takes these two tables of stone and hands them to Moses. And what you find is that the Word of God is preserved. That's your next point. The Word of God is preserved. It's Moses' job to hold it. It's Moses' job to hold it forth. It's Moses' job to keep it. And here's a cross-reference for you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Matthew 5:18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Well, what in the world is a jot and what is a tittle? You ever question that? What is a jot and tittle? He says, every word, every jot, every tittle, it will come to pass. What is that? Well, a jot is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's about the size of a period. And the tittle is nothing more than a pen mark. It's a little stroke of a pen. Now, we don't have time to get into all of that, but that's what a jot and that's what a tittle is. And he says, "Until heaven or earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And so the Word of God is preserved. So that should help us have a little bit of an understanding of the Bible that we hold in our hands. Listen, I had a whole lot of perspective about the Bible. I know it was the Word of God, but I never really understood that it was really available to me. I thought it was just the pastor that got to pull out some truths. I thought, wow, man, he's pulling out some truths. I wish I could ever do that. Well, there's no secret. I just get to spend time with the Lord, and the more and more I spend time with Him, the more and more His voice makes sense to me. And more I begin to see God for who He is. Why? Because I have access to Him. And then I wonder for more of His voice, and I realize from Genesis to Revelation, I have the complete Word of God, and it is certain, and it is preserved, and I have access to it today. Praise the Lord for that. So here's the nation of Israel. They're at the base of the mountain. They're hearing the audible voice of God. And then in verse 23, you find out that their perspective completely changes because of how their interaction is with the Word of God. Verse 23, "And it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness." He says, "For the mountain did burn with fire." Look at this. "That ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders." All right, here's what I want you to get out of verse 23. They heard the Word. You see that in verse 23? "And it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness." How many of you, be honest, and you have your quiet time or your devotional time or your personal time or your time with the Bible, whatever it is, and you open up the scriptures and you have your journal and you even date it and you put your name and it's all nice and neat, and you begin to read. And next thing you know, you're thinking about what's for dinner. The next thing you know, you're thinking about this, and you're thinking about that, and you close your Bible and you realize, I read, but I don't have a clue what it said. Anybody be honest and say, you know what, I do that with frequency. That's me. Frequency, that's me. I mean, there's times where I just get so, I'm reading and I set aside time, and yet my mind is completely different place. And I'm not tuned in to the voice of God. Parents, have you ever said that to your children? Repeat it back to me. I want to know that you're picking up what I'm saying, right? Repeat it back to me. Are you hearing what it says? That's the perspective. Listen, your perspective of life, your life will not change unless you've heard the voice of the Lord. Unless you've heard it. Unless you've really understood it and you processed it. There's a difference between listening and there's a difference between hearing. Are you truly hearing the word of God? Because he says, and it came to pass when he heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness. Many times we open up the Bible and we read words. We read words. We don't hear a voice. Every time you open the scriptures, it's God wanting to say something to you. There should be an expectancy. God, what is it that you have in store for me? What is it that you want to say to me? Well, let's be honest. Sometimes it's good to hear. Sometimes it's painful to hear, isn't it? And there's even times where it's boring to hear. Let's just be honest. And yet God is saying something. The question is, are you hearing his voice? Or you just have it on in the background? Are you just listening in? Or are you hearing what he has to say? Because notice this, verse 23, and it came to pass when he heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire. Interesting. In the midst of the darkness, he says, for the mountain did burn with fire. You ever been around a fire pit where there's super amounts of light around the fire, but the further away you get, you stand in utter darkness? That's exactly where they are. They're standing in darkness as God is consumed in light. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he's a consuming fire, that if you want access to God's light in your darkness, it's through his voice. It's through his word. If you're in a time of darkness and you don't know what it is that God is saying to you, could it be that you're in darkness and you need his light? It's through his voice that there is light. I think Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 says something along those lines where God said, let there be light. I need his light in my darkness. Verse 23, and it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And so the people come together and go, okay, what happened last night, right? What happened yesterday? I just heard the audible voice of God, and it scared the living daylights out of me, and it caused them to have some dialogue. It caused them to have some questions, and it caused them to go to their elders and their leaders amongst all their tribes, and they all come to Moses and say, we need to talk. Now, they've been coming to Moses for a lot of things, like, hey, I'm hungry. Hey, I'm thirsty. I want to go back to Egypt. They've been coming to Moses for a whole lot of different things. But after hearing the audible voice of God, their perspective changes. And now they come to their leader and saying, hey, I just heard from God. And it's given me some different perspective. Can we talk about this? That's what's going on here in these verses. I'm going to get out of the sun here. Right there. All right, so look what he says here in verse 24. Verse 24. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? for this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. And then they say, man, there's no flesh that can hear the voice of God and still live. I mean, what's going on here? And so here's the response, and this is kind of where I want to close for today. And I told you it's going to be a short message, right? I told you it's going to be shorter. But he says this in verse 24. Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. That, right there, is when you know your perspective completely changes. When you open up the Word of God, and I don't care where you're reading. Right now I'm reading through the Psalms. Wherever it is that you're reading, you open up the Word of God, and the very first thing you see is his glory. That is how you respond to God. That right there. The first response you should have when you open up the Word of God is to see God for who he is. They said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. Believer, do you want to know why you struggle when you open up the Word of God? Do you want to know why it is whenever you open the Bible up and you have your journal and you're writing some things down and you're desperately wanting to hear from the Lord? I think there's the number one reason. You're looking for yourself in his pages. You're looking for me. How's this going to affect me? Where do I go? What do I do? What is it God has to say to me? That's your first question, and that's the wrong question. And so when you open up the pages and you don't get that answer right away, you close it and you go find out what's in the refrigerator. You find out what's on TV. I'm thinking this is why so many believers struggle by handling the Word of God. Because their first inclination is to find themselves in these pages instead of finding God. Is that where you are? Because I get there. I get there too. I have the same struggles. God, what is it that you're saying? What do you want from me? Good questions. Just not the first one you ask. God, where are you? Who are you? Can I see your glory? Can I see your holiness? Can I see your magnificence? Can I see your greatness? And there's not a page in the Bible you can't find him. See God for who he is. That, right there, is the number one response to have when you open up his pages. See God for who he is. Let's put it this way. Be overwhelmed with his glory. Be completely overwhelmed with his glory. Notice what he says in verse 24. He says, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now, we'll come to that here in just a few moments. But he says that we have seen that God doth talk with man. Do you have the response that David did? Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God, I see your glory as I'm pouring through the pages of your word. I see how amazing you are. I see how glorifying you are. I see how magnificent you are. Why are you talking to me? Why are you taking time to even say anything to me? You should be humbled with the fact that God is talking to you. Well, Tony, how can you say that? Well, here's the deal. Because when you see God for who he is, you begin to see yourself for who you are. That is the Bible. And if you run into it looking for answers, you run into it looking for yourself, you're going to find yourself running away from his pages. But when you run to the Word of God, searching for God Himself, and you see God for who He is, you begin to see yourself for who you are. That is when the pages of God's Word begin to unlock for you. You see, that is the secret. If there is a secret, that is it. See God for who He is, you begin to see yourself for who you are. Hold your spot and come with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And you can also be making your way to Luke chapter 5. So Isaiah chapter 6. Everybody hanging with me? Y'all good? Check this out. Look at Isaiah's response when he sees God for who He is. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, when Isaiah saw God for who He is, he began to see himself for who he was. And he says, "Woe is unto me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." Look over here in Luke chapter 5. This is one of my favorite little, small little stories. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus has been teaching the multitudes. He launches off in Peter's boat with Peter. Luke chapter 5, if I have a Luke chapter 5 in my Bible, here it is, verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down thy net." What did he call him? Called him Master, didn't he? He saw him for who he was. "Master, I want to listen to what your word says." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Verse 7, "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Now here's Peter, who's tired. He's been fishing all night, trying to make a living, just trying to make it happen. He's working the night shift. Jesus begins to have an interaction with him early in the morning. Says, "Cast off over here. You know, we toiled all night." He goes, "Because your word says it, I'll do it." He brings in this massive amounts of fish. Peter begins to see God for who he is. Verse 8, "And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." What? Oh, Lord. He was master, but now he's Lord. When you begin to see God for who he is, you begin to see yourself for who you are. Just like Peter, just like Isaiah. Come back over here to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, I love this. At the end of verse 24, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24, at the very end, he says, "We have seen this day that God doth talk with man," look at this, "and he liveth." And he liveth. They're surprised to hear the audible voice of God. They can't believe that they've heard the audible voice of God and they're still standing. And they do some math. They do an equation. They're going, "Wow, could it be that God wants me to live through His word?" That's the conclusion they come to, because here's the very next question they ask. in verse 25. It says, now therefore, why should we die? And on the surface, when I first read through this, I'm going, oh man, this isn't going to go well for my message. I'm trying to get people to get into the book, and here they are. They're asking Moses, why don't you go spend time with God and tell us what the Bible says? I'm like, that's not, God, that's the kind of not the message I think you got for us. Because the conclusion we're going to come to is, Pastor, you tell us what the Bible says, and we'll just trust you. Well, that's not the message. Because the more and more I looked at it, the more and more I realized what they're asking is that they would remain alive through the Word of God. And we'll explain this a little bit more. He says, why should we die? Verse 25. For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. What are they doing? They're choosing life, aren't they? They're choosing life. And on the surface, it's like, oh man, these guys don't want to hear God's voice because they've equated God's voice with death. Well, there's truth to that too. Because you can't spend time in the Word of God without the things in your life that need to die dying. Right? So every time we open the Word of God, there's a death, but every time we open the Word of God, there's a resurrection. There's death and there's life. And they recognize and they understand, look at this, verse 26. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Like, this doesn't happen. God doesn't allow us to hear His voice out of heaven and live. This doesn't work. This doesn't compute for us. Go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Because they know that fleshly things die in response to the Word of God. Did you get that? Fleshly things die in response to the Word of God. And they know it. Because when God speaks, it brings forth life and it brings forth death. And can I just submit to you, I think that's why some of us here avoid the Word of God. I think that's why some of us avoid the Word of God. Because we're afraid that things might have to change. We're afraid that something in our life might need to die. And we don't want it to. And so we don't want our fleshly thing to be subjected to the voice of God. Everybody tracking with me? You hanging with me? Because I'm guilty of the same thing. And the times where I don't want to get into the Word of God are the times where I want to dwell in my flesh and do fleshly things and hold on to fleshly attitudes. And I recognize that if I go to God's Word, it's going to cause me to have a death and a resurrection. And honestly, there's times where I don't want that. Yes, that was your pastor talking like that. That's the truth. There's times where I just want to dwell in my flesh. It's sinful. It's wrong. Did I tell you to go to John chapter 6? Did I? John chapter 6. That's where I'd like you to go. And this is where we'll stop. John chapter 6. Jesus has just preached a very hard message. And he's told the crowd that they need to eat his flesh and drink his blood to have everlasting life. And they're like, I think this guy's off his rocker a little bit. I mean, it's not a normal message to hear somebody come eat my flesh and drink my blood. But if you do some cross-referencing, you check out his message, he's equating believing God with eating his flesh and drinking his blood. We don't have time to dive into all of that, but I do want to key in to verse 66. John chapter 6 and verse 66. He says, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? They couldn't receive what he said. that couldn't believe what he said. So many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't hold to the truth of God's word. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are you leaving too? Are you bouncing? Are you going? And I want you to notice Peter's response. Peter doesn't say, where should we go? He doesn't say that. Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. God, give me that response. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter understood that if he turns from the Lord, he's either following himself or he's following some other man. He's not going to be following the Lord. He goes, to whom shall I go? I need the words. What kind of words? Words of life. And what's amazing to me, the same message had two different responses. One group viewed it as words of death. 12 viewed it as words of life. Same book, same words, same truth. And I think that is the key for us to have a proper response to the Word of God. I think many of us struggle with the book because we don't see God first. We try to find ourselves, number one. And number two, we view it as a book of death instead of a book of life. Come back over here to Deuteronomy 5, and this is where we'll land the plane right here. At the end of verse 24, this says, God talks with man, he lives. At the end of verse 25, they said, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. And what you find is they want to have a right perspective. They want to have a life perspective. And they say, we can't hear the audible voice of God. We know that we can't have that. So would you give us what's better? Would you give us something better? He says in verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Now, well, I don't want to unpack any of that because we're going to look at that next time. But what I love about this is they're not running away from God's voice. They want access to it. And they recognize that they can't handle the glory of God unless it's through His Word. They have to go through His Word to handle the glory of God. They say, we don't need the audible voice of God. We need something better. We need His written word. And that's what they craved. Because they wanted to live. They didn't view God's words as death. They viewed it as life. And that right there is how to have a proper response, a proper biblical response to the Bible. Part one. Right? We'll get into the rest of it next time. Well, let's stand together. Listen, I know that wasn't deep, wasn't intended to be. I know it came across very simple. Praise the Lord, that was the goal. But it was just good for me to be reminded of the Bible that we have, that it's available to us, that it gives us access to God, that it's powerful, that it's complete, that it's certain, that it is preserved, and that when I spend time with the Lord, it changes my perspective. I actually hear His voice. It changes my perspective. And that perspective is very simple. I want to see God for who He is so that I can see myself for who I am. And I no longer want to view God's word as a book of death, but I want to view it as a book of resurrection, as a book of life. And I want to have the response that Peter has. To whom shall I go? Shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Interesting. In Luke chapter 5, he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And when everybody else is departing from him, Peter says, I ain't going anywhere. I need the words that are coming out of your mouth. I need your truth. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Is there anybody here that says, you know what, Tony, I'm hearing what you're saying. And my view of Scripture has been skewed. I feel like I go to the Word of God and it's dry. And I feel like I'm not hearing from Him. Somebody says, you know, that's me. I just don't feel like I'm hearing from the voice of God. Just raise your hand just between you, me, and the Lord. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to single you out. There's a hand. Anybody else? There's a hand. There's a hand. Anybody else? Could it be that you've been viewing the Word of God as death instead of life? Could it be that you're running to the Bible to find you instead of finding God? All right, let me ask you this. Is there anybody here that says, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but I'm not even sure that I'm a child of God. I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I don't know that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I'd love to talk to somebody about that. I'm not going to bring you up front, but is there anybody? Just raise your hand and say, you know, I'd love to talk to somebody afterwards, how I can know Jesus as my Savior. Anybody? I'm scanning the crowd. Anybody? No hands. Is there anybody that says, you know what? I've been viewing God's word as death. And I need to view His words as life. Lord, I pray as we close this morning, as we prepare to go our separate ways, as we prepare for youth, as we prepare for other things, Lord, I pray that today's message is so simple and practical. Lord, I pray that it would open up our hearts and open up our understanding of just how amazing it is that the God of the universe would even spend time to talk with us. And Lord, it's amazing. And I just feel so many times that I don't grasp how amazing that is. So I confess my sin to you, my iniquity. Lord, that I want to cling to your word, knowing that it breathes life into me. And knowing that as I read your word, God has to kill the things that need to be killed. It has to put them to death, Lord, so that you can resurrect in me and so that I can die daily. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you grab a hold of my heart. Lord, that I won't just hear it, but Lord, I'll put the word of God into my heart. And Lord, truly understand this amazing book that you've given us. That is the word of life. Lord, as we open up its pages, may we be consumed with your glory. May we truly see you for who you are, Lord, so that we can see ourselves for who we are. We ask all this in the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen.